there, knowing church planners don't make any money, said, you know what, I'll buy you guys tickets to a Cubs game. So we got to go to a Cubs game on Monday night. And anybody ever been to Wrigley Field? Yeah. You ever seen it? Yeah? A couple? Yeah. Great time. I had never been. It was a total blast. Oh, that was you, Joel. Is that you that said, or Josh, were you the one that said yes? You've been to Cubs? Okay. Great time. And one of the things, you know, there's like this whole Cubs culture that, like, you walk off the streets, I think it's Addison, I think it's one, into like a whole other world all of a sudden of just Cubs freaks, you know, and like crazy people. And we're sitting in the bleachers out in right field, and all of a sudden, I don't know, a couple innings into it, the group kind of all around me, they start chanting, "Left field sucks. Left field sucks." And then a couple minutes later, you hear the people in left field go, "Right field sucks." And it's just, but they love each other, you know? They're like all in this together. They're a family, you know? And it got me to thinking, you know, we got a north side and a south side, right. You know? Denetta, you don't like that idea, do you? Oh, okay. North side. Okay, so each week, you know, we're just kind of trying to add a little piece to the journey culture. And when people walk up, we got to make sure, you know, we know their names so we can say hi to them when they walk in. And I thought maybe that'd be a piece we'd want to add, but no, not into that. Okay. Hey, there are a few things that I wanted to let you know. Yeah, there you go. Anytime. That was the deal. It didn't matter what was happening, you know. They were kind of chewing all over each other. You may have noticed, you may have been able to find the place a little easier this morning when you drove up. Yes? Did you notice
that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. There are signs out there. Thanks to PJ. Woo! I mean, everything, you know, it's like all roads kind of lead back to PJ.
They do.
PJ put the signs up. PJ and Brad helped him out last night. PJ has connections for us, I guess. So they did that. And, you know, it's kind of funny. Just so keep in perspective a little bit of what this is about, what we're trying to do, want to do. You know, you put a sign up and people go, "Oh, there's my church." And remember, no, that's not the case. Church isn't a place you go to, right? What is it? Oh, what's that? Okay, people, what else? It's something you do. It's something you are. And we, you know, particularly in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about kind of the big picture story of the Bible. And that's what we're realizing. Church has nothing to do with a place you go to, or it's who you are. It's something that God has been for all eternity looking forward to creating and doing. And so to ask a person, or when somebody asks you, "Well, where do you go to church?" It really, the question doesn't make any sense, because it'd be kind of like, you know, it'd be kind of like asking, you know, where do you fully, you know? I mean, fully is who you are, right? It's, you're always fullies. You know, it'd be like asking, where do you roach, you know? Well, that's not a good question. That just hit me. Some of you are going, "I haven't heard that question since college." All right. Yeah, you know, where do you, Nelson, right? I mean, we are Nelson. It's who we are. What do you mean? It's not about, we don't just Nelson in that white house we live in. We are always Nelson, wherever we go. When I drive my kids to school, we Nelson. You know, whatever it is. And there are things unique to being Nelson, or unique to being Foley, or whatever your last name is. But it has nothing to do with where you live, right? And so, geez, that's really funny. Is that on tape? I mean, that whole... Right. That'll be something else I get. Somebody will get all over me about that. But now, this space where we are in today, it is, I mean, it is unique to Journey. It's where we gather, you know, the people who identify themselves as being part of this family, and hopefully others who are just curious who God is and what God's about and stuff. But this is a space that is ours, and it is unique to us. And in some way, it does help define us a little bit and explain a little of who we are. In fact, just to remind you, as we continue to kind of put things together and use the space, a few things I want to tell you about. We would love to use this space as kind of a coffee house. There really isn't one in the area. And we thought it'd be great to be able to do that. A place that is open to the community all week long, and a place that the community would say, hey, I have reason to be there a little bit, you know? And a couple ideas. You know, right out this back, say hi to Matt. Matt's right in front of the back door here. We thought, you know, it'd be kind of cool if when it's actually warm outside to build like a, I don't know, a little patio deck out there and put your tiki torches out or whatever and let people, you know, it's a place people might actually come and grab coffee in an evening. Or imagine if we had some local musicians in here playing, you know, or even did like a little, some rotating art gallery kinds of things here. I don't know. You know, there's a number of different things that we could do. And we want to use it in a way that connects us to our community and just allows us to serve them in a different way and so forth. Okay, Melissa. Melissa is coming, okay? So when she comes in, it's, hi, Melissa, okay? So, you know she's going to love this, right?
Here we go.
So, imagine... Hey, Melissa!
Making your way in the world today.
You're going to keep coming late. Oh, Deb.
Here we go.
Hey, Deb! All right. And remember, if we don't know who a person is, I'll just pick a name, shout it out, and we'll get credit for it, at least a little credit. So back here is basically, it's kind of office space, but we're really going to leave it open so that this space kind of flows into that space. And we could just, there's a lot of cool things we can do. We've got kids over there, and we've got somebody looking at, they've kind of come up with some creative designs, and now we just need to get some people to come in and maybe help paint some of that in the, I don't know, next few weeks or couple weeks, whatever. So, one last thing I'll say, because right now, today is a good example, We're going to be kind of packed in here. We've got, it's kind of nursery and travelers right in here.
Explorers.
Sorry, I do that wrong every time. And then travelers and trailblazers in the room next door. It could just get kind of tight, you know, even for us being in here when the seats get full. And so the guy who we're renting the space from, of course, he'd love to rent us all kinds of space, you know. But he keeps talking about, hey, you know, I could give you another space three doors down. Good man, by the way. But three doors down, and we could use that for some kid stuff. It's really nice. They've got walls that divide it. There's like some almost office spaces in the back, 10 by 15 and a 10 by 10 room that you could do kids things in. And he said, you know, for another like $500 a month. Well, even if we did that, it'd still be cheaper than what we spent on the middle school and our office together. So there are possibilities, but I just want you to know, just know that we, you know, we can kind of be working. We'll just keep working and growing into it and figuring out what we want to do and how we want to use it. Okay. I don't know. Questions or comments about any of that stuff? Brad, is there anything maybe that we've been talking about or thinking that we need to tell them? Greg.
I like that.
You know what? Not the one that we've been using, is that what you're saying? Oh, okay.
What,
you need
to make a sign called
Three Doors
Down.
Yeah, Three Doors Down. Journey Three Doors Down. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a great idea. I mean, we can, you know, we'd love it if it were possible to, I don't know, run a daycare center out of it during the week or something. You know what I mean? So, soft serve ice cream. Serve like self service kind of thing? No, okay. Yeah, there you go. All right, good. Hey, you know, just if you have thoughts or questions or whatever, we're hoping to get some chairs here eventually. We're borrowing these right now, but we're hoping to get some. And so couches, well, you know, the whole coffee house idea, we'd do some of that stuff if we could come up with a few dollars to put some little couches and chairs and stuff in here. So great things. I mean, we're just really excited about the possibility of it and how it will, you know, connect us to our community. And right, you know what, we do meet together, all of us, to celebrate, to just share in who God is, in what God is doing, hopefully, in our lives, something hopefully we are aware of, we're paying attention to. We gather together to just celebrate even our identity, right? And the fact that we're part of something. And we meet together to just praise God for who He is. In fact, we're going to do that here for a few minutes. John, while we're at this point, you've got something you want to... we've got, you know, a lot of times we use the slides, and eventually we're going to have another screen over here and do all that stuff. Each week there'll be a little bit more, but we thought this week we'd use these sheets and maybe use them a little more regularly. John, you want to say something about it?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask the question, how's music and stuff going for you guys? You liking what we got here? Sound not too loud? Are we doing all right? We've been, you know, doing just like acoustic and... I'd say a little laid back the last few weeks, which has been all right. I wanted to break out my electric guitar, and Josh brought his brand new drums. So we got something maybe a little different today. Hey, anyways, you know, we've said we just want to be a little more open with our worship, particularly as it pertains to music. And, you know, I know it's difficult sometimes. You may be thinking of a song, but, you know, you don't know the title or whatever. You don't want to say anything. Hey, we can work with that. You know, from the band's perspective, we come Thursday nights and try to prepare something, but we don't want that to be the only thing that's available. Even, you know, maybe today, the order, as we keep going with these sheets, we'll have more and more of them available. We can do some different things. But what I wanted to say in there, we kind of need to get out of the, maybe a little bit of the habit of we always sing a song this particular way. I didn't put all the words on the song and the way we sing them. So you guys are just going to kind of have to learn the music and kind of work with us on that. So if that's cool, we'll try to use it that way. You know, Matt runs the slides and those are in a particular order. But if I jump to a chorus or something, he might be a little behind. So it's not that he's just that bad at running the computer. He just didn't know it was coming. So,
you're just not that consistent, are you?
Yeah, I'm just not that consistent. So, you know, so, hey, any other thoughts from you guys on worship, how we can, you know, just do this together a little better? Still want to look for like a blog or something that you guys can be on, maybe seeing some more of the songs we're doing, you know, working through those. We'll work on that.
We really didn't need to say anything at any point if you want, but we like the idea of even our time of just, you know, we use music to praise God, to celebrate these things. We like the thought that that is more free-flowing and that you might be able to go, oh yeah, I remember this song, or I really like it, or what it says here is something related to what we're talking about, or even maybe just where you're at in your own... just where you're at, you know, and so we want for that to be the case. So maybe it's helpful to have something like this in front of you. You can go, oh yeah, this is cool, or this would connect, or this would help, or this is speaking to me, and can we do the song together? Let me just tell you a quick little story, and then I really want to open it up to that. I want us to spend a few moments just kind of celebrating, praising God. I heard a story just recently about an American family who was working overseas, and they returned to the U.S., and it was the first time that their little girl had been in, you know, this country. And the dad wanted to give her an authentic American experience. And so he decided to take her to a Major League Baseball game. And I, being at a Cubs game Monday, it kind of connected to me. And it so happened that particular day was, they were doing one of those special, like, promo things. It was Glove Day. So what that means is, all the kids who attend the ball game get a, you know, this like little baseball glove, right? A souvenir glove. Well, as they're going through the turnstile, the girl or somebody is handing a glove to the girl, and she kind of pauses, and she gets this really really kind of twisted look of confusion on her face. And then all of a sudden, she just bursts into tears. And the dad, like, grabs her and picks her up and says, well, what's wrong? And she goes, she says, Dad, I don't want to play. I just want to watch. Now, it's a very funny story when it comes to a baseball game, but it isn't so much when it comes to churching together, right? Because the reality is, when you walk through, the very fact that you walk through the door is saying, you've been given a glove and we want you to play, you know. You're here because we want you to play, in a sense. Not play church, but you know what I mean? We want you to church together with us. It isn't just about you coming to watch something. It isn't just about you being here to see others perform. We're all here to perform. As you guys said a couple weeks ago, we're all actors before God. And we are to play our part in our role. That doesn't mean that you have to speak or you have to do anything like that, but maybe sharing with somebody, maybe praying for a person, whether you pray out loud or not, but you're engaged and you're actively participating. Okay, so even maybe a way in doing that is you know, checking this kind of thing out and saying, hey, can we do this? Or as we are singing a song, if you just want to sit silently where you are, you want to pray, you want to whatever. Okay, does that make sense? We don't know what all that will look like each week, but that's okay. We just let the Spirit of God kind of move us in that way, right? And wherever you're at. So, thanks, you guys. You know, I certainly don't want to, I didn't mean to necessarily shut down the music, but here's a question I wanted to ask. Last week, I said to you, I was hoping you would spend time listening to what the Spirit of God might be saying to you, might be speaking to you about your spiritual growth, about just what the things God wants you to do. Remember I said, don't listen to the voices that are saying, oh, you're a mess, you're no good, you know, the kind of self-critical, condemning kinds of voices. You know, that's the stuff Satan does, and he's taught us well to do that. We do enough of that to ourselves. I'm talking about the kind of voice where you hear God saying to you, I want so much more for you in this area or in this thing. And I want to give us time. If there's anything maybe that God pressed on your heart, maybe brought to your mind, something you just sensed maybe the Spirit of God was speaking to you, you want to mention it or share it with us. Maybe something we can celebrate. Maybe something we can just pray about. So I want to give you a moment for that. Yeah. Cool. That's great. Yeah, in fact, there's a verse in the Bible that says, draw near to me, God says, and I will draw near to you. That's great. Very good, Rebecca. Anybody else? It could be anything like that. It might be totally different from that. Maybe the Spirit of God has said something to you this week in a different way.
Should I get something?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, it's Dan, okay? Yeah. It's Rebecca, you know?
I don't know John Carlson at all. But my name is Dan Carlson.
Yeah.
We're cousins, just the curse. But, you know, I've been, one of the things I wrote on the card, see how I speak.
I'm done.
Was to just get to know the Bible in a practical way. But time is kind of the essence in life right now with four kids and three in sports. And reading the Bible doesn't come easy. So at House Church on Tuesday, help me with the name, Josh and Shannon?
Josh and Shannon.
Cooper, yes. I was just sharing how, just going fine. So I said, how about listening to the Bible on CD? The light bulb over the head. That's it. So, and then they said, I got it. You want to use it? So I'm borrowing it from them, and I've been listening to Genesis this week. I didn't know. I heard this a little bit. It surprised me. This is an Exodus, but Exodus 4:24. Moses he's in the desert. He's actually coming back to Egypt, and at a lodging place on the way back to Egypt. Verse 4:24 says, at a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses. This is what I didn't know, and was about to kill him. I didn't know. I didn't know the Lord had intentions to kill Moses. But it stems from Moses arguing with God. In essence, I'm a bad speaker. I can't do what you're asking me to do, and you're telling me to go and do these big things, and I can't do it. That's not me. And in the previous verses, it says that the Lord's anger burned against Moses. So in verse 24, I don't know why it came as a surprise to me that the Lord was going to kill Moses. Well, he didn't. Kind of an odd reason why he didn't. But the Zipporah took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me, she said. So the Lord took him alone. It just came as a. First of all, how many times have I read this? But it took just one time listening to it, really listening to it, to hear that God was going to kill Moses. And then I got to thinking, maybe it was down a bunny trail or. Where I ended up was, how many times does God intercede for me? I don't even know. I walked out the door this morning. My foot slipped in our garage. My foot slipped off the step, and I fell. I'm thinking that's how older people break their hips.
Your day is coming.
I fell and I rolled and I got up. I thought, what just happened? But then I think, maybe that's a time. Simple lesson. This is where maybe God interceded for me right then and there. Maybe there was a guardian angel there that kept me from cracking my head open on the concrete or knocking my head on the car. Or in fact, my son was standing in front of me. I went right around him. Just that little lesson. I didn't know God trying to kill Moses. But he didn't, because someone paid Moses tribute or honor. In kind of a weird way, I think. But just that little thing where God intercedes for us, and we don't even know it at times. So I think I got to know the God of the Bible a little bit better. He cares for us. He wants to kill us sometimes. But he loves us so much that, I'm going to honor what you do. Or I'll honor you because of what someone else did for you. And it's just a lesson.
Anyone else? Maybe a way, particularly coming off of last Sunday, what is the Spirit of God saying to you about what God wants to do in your life? I think the reality is sometimes we're gonna come and you're gonna gather together with the church, God's people, and you're gonna feel like I am just so empty. I mean, I have been so kind of poured out or broken open this week or just spilled out in life, and I need God to meet me to do whatever it is He does to encourage me, to kind of fill me up again. I mean, how many of you ever just feel like you show up on a Sunday morning and that's kind of the feeling I have? You know, I feel like nothing and I'm just drained. Yeah, sometimes it happens. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to come and you're going to go, man, God met me in this way this week and I'm here to celebrate that. And you need to know about it. And you know what? Because we're part of the body of Christ together, if God did meet you that way, He met me and every one of us that way. And we need to know it. We need to know the ways that God is at work. He's present. He's powerfully moving in our lives. So you come to be part of Journey. And we church together. And the second you walk through the door, we're handing you a ball glove. You know what I'm saying? And you're here to play. And when if you gather with a group that meets in a house church like some of you are, and more and more, by the way, I'm just going to be encouraging you to do that. I don't care if right now you haven't been part of one, you're not part of one, then just find a group and start connecting to them, and maybe we'll start, like Brad said last week, some house churches right out of here. We could do a weeknight or something like that and get some going, but we want you to start connecting, and we'll keep talking about that in the coming weeks. But anybody, just something burning, it's just going to fly right off your lips. Greg, go.
Present yourselves a living sacrifice.
Cool. Yep. Good. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God. Just make yourself available to God. I appreciate the ways I know Greg is wrestling through that, and Greg and Carrie and their family and stuff. We've just been talking a little bit about the story, the big story that's being told throughout the Scripture, from the very beginning of creation to the end of the story as we read it, though it has yet to come, just all that God is about. And bottom line is, what is this thing God is doing? We've been talking a little bit about that. We're going to keep talking about kind of how it continues and how we are to be a part of it. That's where this thing is heading, okay? So stick with it. And I want to kind of recap just for a minute. The story of God here is, the big picture is this. It's like a romantic guy movie. If there is such a thing, you know. A lot of times, sometimes there's guy movies, and they try to throw romance into it, and guys go, oh, they kind of ruined it, you know. And then there's, you know, romance-type stuff that the ladies seem to be drawn to, and someone dies in the end, and they don't like that either. So if there is such a thing, it's a romantic guy movie. And it's just this incredible story, and it's about God who is madly and deeply in love with this bride of his, and he chases after her. And listen to what Ephesians 5 says. He says, Jesus loved the church and he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did it to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. I mean, when a man loves a woman, right? The way he has loved her. And that's really what the story is about. Now, there's a mystery, a great mystery contained within this story. What is that mystery? How would you explain it? Remember I showed you a few weeks ago. There's this great mystery that God didn't reveal to anyone until just the right time. And Paul's the one that in the letters to the New Testament, or letters to the churches in the New Testament, he begins sharing what it is. What is the mystery? What is the great mystery of God for all time? Do we know it? It's the thing. You say, God, what is it you want to do? God goes, my burning passion, my burning desire for all things, this is the great mystery. And what? What? Okay. But what particularly about it? What's that? Okay. And Jesus lives within us. And Jesus says, I am going to be present throughout the world through my people. Right? The great mystery is this, that Jesus Jesus is present in his people. Christ lives. Christ wants to take up residence in your life so that you can be Jesus to the world. That's the great mystery. That's this great thing God's been doing. You kind of go, well, I don't know, that's just kind of weird. What's the deal with that? Well, let me just remind you how we see that. There's a pattern, even from the very beginning. The pattern in the account of creation in Genesis, God takes a human being and he takes another human being out of him, right? There's Adam, and he takes a human being out of Adam, and he fashions this other human. God builds a second one out of the first, and that second human has within it all that is part of the first human. And so the two are able to become as one. And that is the same picture that God wants us to have when it comes to understanding us and our relationship to him, us as his church. Now, you already said, who is this bride Jesus is chasing after? It's the church. Do you know what her name is, by the way? Anybody know her name? What she's called in the Bible? You probably wouldn't, but there's a Greek word called, the word is ekklesia. That's her name. And it simply means the ones that are called out. The ones that are called out to him. And Eve is Adam in another form. And you know what? The church is Jesus in another form. Eve was taken out of Adam. The church is taken out of Christ. And Christ continues to live within her, just as Adam lived within Eve. And it's really fascinating. A couple things. The church takes her name from her bridegroom. Just as Eve had Adam's name before the fall. It's interesting, if you read Genesis, she were. Adam doesn't name Eve until after the fall. And he assigns her a name. But until then, she was known as the man. No, what I mean is, God says, let us create man in our image. And he created two beings, and the two of them together were man. And that's how they were understood. They formed the whole. And it wasn't until after the fall, after they sinned, that Adam assigned a name to Eve. Okay. Point is, she gets her name from him. She takes the name of the bridegroom. Naming, by the way, in ancient Hebrew culture, a person's name was equivalent to you know, their character. I mean, it was, you know, they'd take time to see, what is this child going to be like? And then they would name it based on how the child acted or something, you know. So I don't know what Greg means, but, you know, there was something to that. Okay. Okay, there you go. The bride of Christ is so united to the bridegroom that she is called by his name. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The body is a unit. It's made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with the body of Christ. You and I have Jesus' name. Just like when a couple gets married, they become Mr. and Mrs. Troy Salinas. I just did that wedding. When was that? Okay. Seemed like quite a while ago. Yeah. you know, it's... We bear his name, okay? She is a new creation. Remember, Eve was created on the eighth day, the day after the first week of creation. She wasn't there yet. She wasn't created until day eight. Ephesians 2:15 calls the church a new humanity, a new person. Because she was created after the time of Jesus' resurrection. She's like a new race, a new creature on earth. Because she came forth on the eighth day, which was the day of resurrection. Remember, Jesus was raised the first day of the week, day eight. Well, Eve was created that same. I mean, there's just so many interesting parallels, and you may not be too interested in all of them. Look at this next one, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. The church is the spirit of Christ. The church is the spirit of Christ, just as Eve was the flesh of Adam's flesh. She has the genes of God in her. Her DNA is that of Jesus Christ himself. Look at 1 John 3:9. I think we have that one, yeah. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. And that verse is saying all kinds of things to us, but did you catch that? Like this DNA of God himself is within those who are born of God, who follow Christ. And so certainly it is with the church. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. God has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That's 2 Peter. The church is a participant, a partaker of the divine nature of God. Do you see? The point is, Jesus is... The church is like the second incarnation of Christ, okay? And I think this is a reality and a desire for God in a way that most of us just, we don't even have a clue what that means. God says the greatest thing, the great thing that I want to do for all time is be present within you. Christ in us. That's what our lives are about. That's what the church is. Just as Adam and Eve are one, so Jesus and his church are one. And we just don't have a sense of what that really is all about. But this idea of partaking in the divine nature and the seed of God and his spirit being within us, I just want to camp there for a few minutes today. I told you last week that Jesus, after his resurrection, gave his followers an engagement ring of sorts. And I said, read the book of Ephesians to see if you can figure out what it is. Does anybody know? Did anybody figure that out? What is this engagement ring? That's how it's pictured in the New Testament, that Jesus gave to his church, to his bride. Anybody know?
Holy Spirit.
Yes, it's the Holy Spirit. Now, did you know that just because you're really smart or because you actually saw it in Ephesians? You are. I knew with you that was potentially a problem. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 1. I don't know, Matt, did I give you this one? Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14? Yeah. Look there. And I want to read it for you. It says, you are included in Christ. Do you hear it even right there? This idea of there's just, you are Jesus. There's this oneness. You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That is, you know, that Jesus died for us because he loves us so deeply to make us his bride and we can know him and have that relationship with God. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Let's stop right there for a second. This idea of seal... they used to seal documents and seal cargo and stuff. Here was the deal. It's like you'd put an emblem or a stamp, a picture of some kind on it that would identify whose it is or what it was for. So, for example, they'd put a seal on some documents to guarantee their genuineness. This is the real deal. This is really from me. You know, if Chad was writing you a letter and I had like a cool ring that, you know, like a whatever, signet ring, is that what they call those things? You know, and I'd put this seal on it and you'd go, oh, this really is from Chad. I recognize that, you know. That's the idea behind a seal. Or when they were transporting cargo, they would indicate who owned it and ensure that it was going to get to where it was going. You know, it's like you see something, you go, oh, that belongs to Joe. I'm not messing with that, you know. It would just make sure that it was getting to where... And think about those things in relation to your life. God says, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit as a seal in your life to show that you're the real deal. You are authentically Christ. You get that? Or to ensure that you are going to get where I'm wanting you to go. You're going to become all that I want you to be. That's one part of what the Holy Spirit is about. But look at the next part. It says, deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Here's the idea. This deposit is oftentimes, it was used in the commercial world to indicate a good faith payment. Like if you buy a house, you show up to buy a house, you got to have a little bit of money usually to put down on it, saying, I'm really committed to this, okay? And the rest of the payment's going to follow. I'm that committed to it. Well, this idea in the world of romance, if you will, because this very phrase was used oftentimes to describe how a couple would become engaged to each other. And so it was used to describe the significance of an engagement ring. So here is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance, guaranteeing that everything I have as a man is going to soon be yours as a woman, you know, that kind of thing. What my family is about, what we own and have, is soon to be yours. So it was like an engagement ring. And I think that that could be part of our understanding of how Paul would want us to see this. He's given us something as a ring is given to a future bride to say, I am promising something to you, and all the rest is soon to come. The Holy Spirit of God has been given to His church as the first installment of a great inheritance, a promise of what will eventually follow. He is the one promise and deposit that Jesus has given to us. I want you to know that every good thing God wants to do in your life, not like God doesn't want to do good things in your life, like, hey, I'm going to do bad things in your life today. I don't mean that. But every good thing, all the things that God wants to do in your life today comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. Comes through the work of the Spirit. Why? Because if we are Christ, the Spirit of Christ is in us, and that's just how it works. Everything. The fruits of the Spirit. The Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Anybody know what those are? What are they? Fruits of the Spirit? Anybody familiar with them? All right. Love. Okay. Love, things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, all those things. And by the way, you know what? Those aren't just things that you get so that you can just use them on yourself and carry them around. You know what? You only experience those things ultimately, really, in relationship with other people. Do you ever catch that? And so imagine what, you know, everything God wants to do in your life comes through the work of the Spirit. And He says the fruit of all that, as you are in relation, you're part of this body of Christ, you can experience love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, all those things. Even self-control. How about understanding God's Word? Understanding the Bible. Do you know, one of the things Jesus said about this Holy Spirit that is to come and what I'm going to give you, He says He will instruct you in the things that you are to know. He will remind you of all the things that I've told you. So understanding the Bible, understanding God's Word, which is all about applying it to your life and living it out, comes by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to do that stuff in your life. Oh, wait, I thought that's what Chad was supposed to do. Or Brad, or this book I read, or the preacher I see on TV, or whatever. No. Might use them as a tool. But the Holy Spirit is the one ultimately that accomplishes that and does that. How about strength and trial? You're facing difficult things. It's the Spirit of God that will get you through that. It's interesting. You tell the story of how God intercedes, and I've got a good story, but I'm not going to tell it till next week. As we keep talking about how the Spirit works in our lives, okay? How about grace to forgive people? I mean, God wants to free you from the pain and the agony and frustration of broken relationships or whatever. I struggle with this a lot, you guys. There are people in my life I struggle to forgive. Really. It takes the Spirit of God to do this stuff in my life, and I want to be open to that. How about compassion for people who don't even know Jesus? How many of you can just kind of go through your day and, you know, John Q. Public and Susie Q. Public and, you know, Or maybe somebody you know, maybe a person you live next to, or a person you know, someone you know personally, and you go, I don't know, I don't really think about where they're at spiritually. I don't really think much about whether or not they even know Jesus. Man, you know what? If the Spirit of God is residing in our lives in the way God wants Him to, in the way that He desires, we will be. We will be interested and concerned with where people are at spiritually. These are just all things. Recently, I was sitting with a guy who's a pastor of another church, and we were talking about some of this stuff, and he goes, hey, you ever spoken in tongues? Which, if you're all familiar with the Bible, I won't even explain all that stuff, but have you ever spoken in tongues? In other words, has the Holy Spirit ever overcome you and you've been able to speak in other languages that you never knew before? I said, no, not happened. He goes, why in the world not? I'm like, I don't know. It just hasn't happened, kind of thing. But I think I do know. I'm kind of kidding. But here's the deal. A little bit later that day, I'm thinking about this and I'm saying, God, I don't know. Why hasn't that happened? What is it? How do you want your Spirit to be present in my life? And no lie, it was this thought that hit me. He says, in the way that kind of God does, you know. There's a new commandment that I'm giving to you, and that is this. This is right out of the Bible. To love one another. Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, a new commandment I'm giving to you, to love one another the way that I have loved you. And I go, holy cow. I mean, that takes the Holy Spirit. For me to love people the way Christ has loved me, why is it? Why would we think that would take any less of the work of the Spirit? Why are we so hung up on things like speaking in tongues or doing this stuff? When I go, wait a minute, the Holy Spirit wants to be present in my life so that I can love my neighbor the way that Jesus loved me, in a way that I would lay down my life for that person. I would give of myself in all kinds of ways to serve them. You see what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Why is that any less a significant expression of the work of the Spirit in my life than me all of a sudden speaking another language, you know, so that somebody could understand salvation and stuff. The Holy Spirit, you guys, is Jesus' deposit, guaranteeing some amazing things that are coming down the road. But there's all kinds of stuff that the Holy Spirit wants to be doing, wants the ways in which the Spirit of Christ wants to be present in your life, and in mine, and in ours collectively, that I don't think we know much of anything about. Or that we are paying enough attention to, or open enough to begin experiencing. Is anybody tracking with me? Do you feel that way? Have you ever felt like, God, there's got to be more to this thing than what I've experienced to this point? Surely you want to do something more in my life. Has anybody ever felt that way? Honestly, can you just be honest? Have you ever felt like, I mean, this church thing's kind of nice, it's okay, it's sometimes fun even, maybe, I don't know, but is this it? I mean, isn't there more? Is there something else maybe that you want to do? I believe there is. I think there are some amazing things available to us. Those who make ourselves available to God, they will become available to us. And the stuff that can happen within us and through us and amongst us, when the Holy Spirit is in control, I think we've not understood it, and I think we've even been resistant to it. Here's what I want you to do this week. Okay? And we'll finish up right here, and if we want to do some more celebrating and stuff. Here's what I want you to do this week, though. I want you, think about a couple of those things that I mentioned. Think about the fruits of the Holy Spirit working in your life, or present in your life. Maybe you feel like, you know, I'm not experiencing a lot of joy in my life, because there just isn't a lot of joy in my relationships with people, or I'm not been a very kind person lately, you know? I'm not being very gentle, or whatever it is. I want you to think about maybe those things. Or maybe it's I am really struggling to forgive someone. maybe it's, I really don't right now feel like I give a rip about where people are at spiritually. I just don't. I don't give time to think about it. Maybe you're facing something that you just, I kind of did it this week, I blew it. It was just a bad day. It was a tough day, and it was culminating in my vehicle not starting, and I lose my temper. Okay? And I go, I don't know. It's like, God, what's the deal? You know? And not making myself available to the Spirit to work, to develop something within me in a way. I struggle with all this as you do, but I know God desires so much more for me in some of these areas, and I know He does for you too. And we aren't going to do it by just go home and read the Bible more and pray more. It isn't going to happen by just, we hope you really like this song. This would be a cool song. Or, you know, it doesn't happen because you just come to church on a Sunday or whatever it is, you know. We've got to do the work of saying, God, I want to be available to you, and I want your Spirit to become more powerfully present in my life. Are you tracking? Is anybody catching on? You might be going, I hear what you're saying, but I don't really know what that means. You know what? I don't either. Okay? I don't know what all it will look like. But that's part of the adventure. That's part of the mystery. This week, I want you to think about, Lord, where is it? What is it you desire so much more from me? You want for your Spirit to be more powerfully active and at work in my life. Maybe in relationship, maybe in understanding God's Word, maybe in whatever. Ask God, this week, I challenge you to ask God this week, Lord, what is it? How do you want for your Spirit to be more powerfully present in my life? And wait and see the opportunities that will begin to surface in your life. We've got to believe that God will be faithful and that God will respond. I mean, we don't believe that. Don't bother coming back next week. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and if we're not willing to listen and hear and experience the Spirit of God in our lives, there ain't no point in us getting together. There isn't any point in us getting together, right? So let's see what it would be. I want to pray for a minute about that and just ask that even right now, God would begin to shape our minds in a direction or our heart in a direction, whatever. Let's just pray, okay? Lord, I have said a lot of words. I have taken some time here to share some stuff that, Lord, I believe you are pressing on my heart, and I know you've been actively doing in my life. And I just want to share with this, my family, anyone who is a follower of you, Lord, who is part of this family, I just want to share with them this stuff that you're pouring into my life, and I pray that it would all be empowered by your Holy Spirit. I pray that we would come this week to understand more of what does it really mean and look like for Christ to live in us. I've spent so much of my life, and we spend so much of our church time doing all kinds of other things, but not really seeking that out and waiting upon you in those ways. And we want your Spirit to be powerfully present in our lives. Lord, I couldn't possibly think of all the ways you might want that for this group that's in here today. I don't know the things that everyone's facing, but you do. I don't know maybe the ways that even now your Spirit has said, I desire so much more of this in a person's life, but I pray that you would do that, and I pray that we would listen for it. I pray that we would trust in you to do that. I pray I ask that you would give us the courage and the boldness this week to be so willing as to ask you to do that. Lord, that we might begin to follow you, follow where your Spirit leads us, and that we might experience Christ in us in a way we've just never known. That you could accomplish this great, powerful mystery in lives, which we just have little appreciation for. Because we've not understood it. We do all kinds of things to deny it, perhaps. Lord, help us not to do this. May we be open to your spirit, even as we celebrate, as we sing praise to you, that you begin to shape us in those ways. Help us, Lord, please. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and who lives within us. Everyone say. If you have a comment or a question, you could even write it on one of these sheets and throw that in there. If there's something that I or that we can help you understand better, please let us know that. By the way, you might want to, in a handful of weeks, to help us kind of, to help you better understand kind of where Journey's going and how we're going to continue to church together. And, you know, you've heard some talk about maybe groups meeting in homes on Sundays and stuff like that. I've got something that I think would help us work through it a little bit. It's just kind of a workbook thing that will help you understand. You'd be able to follow along with some stuff we're talking about and doing. These cost like $10, so you might want to be thinking the next few weeks, somewhere set aside $10, save some pennies, go rob from your kids. I've been taking money from my kids' wallets and stuff lately, you know. Whatever you need to do. You know, they go babysit. I mean, I should get a cut of it, right? So just be thinking about that. If you have questions even about some of what you've heard but you just don't understand, write those on a sheet and you can put those in the backpacks as well. Whatever the case, we're close to 11. I'll tell you what we can do. If you need to split and grab kids, you're welcome to do that. If you want to, you guys want to do one
more? Yeah, we'll do one more.
Stick around and sing too, whatever you want.